Osteoporosis. The ladies come in on what?
Fosamax.
Yeah, they come in on Fosamax. It is the most common human bone disease. We have been through this before. It is some 40 to 60 million Americans now headed that way. Is it possible to have a vertebral body collapse and you didn't know it?
Yes.
Happens all the time. We see them. Elderly woman primarily comes in. She's hunched over. We do the x-rays and 2-3 collapsed vertebral bodies. She never knew that. She does remember a time when there was this extreme pain in the thoracic area, but it kind of went away and she thinks she's fine, and now we see the result. So it could be this kind of presentation or seeing it here beginning to collapse. How about this? That would hurt. Now, what happened? Was it fall and fracture or fracture and fall? Well, it's both. It's both. And so what we have to ask is if she can remember. She's often blocked this out. I was walking down the stairs, I took a step, felt extreme pain, then woke up in the hospital. It was fracture, then fall. But sometimes she doesn't remember. I don't know. I was going down the stairs and I woke up in the ambulance. So she may have slipped and fallen. It almost doesn't matter because it was so bad that the fall did it. It wouldn't have done it to you or I. But what's my concern? If that happened, what's my concern? The other side. Why would I think the other side's not ready to go? And so often, as she falls, she does what? Puts her hand out. Now she gets the typical Colles fracture. This bends up here. And so there's a high correlation of other fractures associated with the first fracture. But the statistics show that once you've had multiple fractures, you increase the odds 20 to 30% per year that you're going to have another. Why? Because it's a system that's falling apart. Healing fractures, rib fractures. What do you do for a rib fracture? You just say ouch for a while until it's no longer a rib fracture. Don't sneeze, that hurts. 10 million have osteoporosis, 34 million have low bone mass. 50% of women, ladies, 1 out of 2 of you will have an osteoporosis-related fracture in your lifetime. Men, 1 out of 4. In this room, statistically, will have an osteoporosis-related fracture in your lifetime. That's not normal. Those are just the numbers. 1.5 million fractures annually, 300,000 hip fractures, 700,000 vertebral fractures, 250,000 wrist fractures, 300,000 fractures at other sites. All right? It is the greatest incidence. These will kill you, heart attack, stroke, and breast cancer, but quite common. Now, the drugs. What is Fosamax? You have to understand what it does potentially and what it doesn't do so that you can know why very often you're going to have to be affirming that the woman needs to probably take this or something like it, at least initially. It started with clinical research on this backbone, phosphorus, carbon, phosphorus. None of the rest of it matters. It's all a delivery system to get the PCP backbone. That's where it started. That thing did what they wanted, but there were nasty side effects. So what's this? And this, and this, and this, and this. Real world on the street. What are all those things?
Derivatives.
Derivatives, which means what? These are different patents. So this is ka-ching, ka-ching one, ka-ching two, ka-ching three, ka-ching four, the one with the least offensive side effects, a big moneymaker, Fosamax vitamin F. It's the way patients act. It is nothing different. PCP, PCP, PCP. It is the phosphorus, carbon, phosphorus backbone. Now, here's what happens. Understand what the drug does. The best work from Haney at Creighton University, most current research, indicates that what's probably going on with osteoporosis is, for some unknown reason, normal remodeling, which happens on 1% of our bone all the time. It must happen to create new osteoid to keep the bones from becoming brittle. All right? It has to be replaced, 1% all the time. That's the most important thing. It's not Wolf's Law. That's another factor, but we have to replenish the bone. If osteoblastic and osteoclastic activity become disconnected, if the one-to-one ratio is lost, if clastic activity exceeds blastic activity by even 1%, what happens over a lifetime? I'm slowly losing bone. Most current research indicates that's what happens. There is a disjunction between the two. So the blastic activity is doing what it should do, but the osteoclasts are either living too long, or they're too active, or they're too many for some unknown reason. All right, if that's the situation and it's your grandma, she's fallen down the stairs once, it almost killed her, the fall did, the fracture is a fracture, she won't move, she lives at the top of the stairs, she won't get help, she's going to fall again, and your fear is it's going to kill her next time. Here she is with one fracture, the odds are up dramatically that she'll have another, there's increased osteoclastic activity, that's what's causing the problem, we don't know why, then what do we need to do? For grandma now, what do we need to do? We have to stop the clastic activity. We'll figure out why later, but if she falls again, she's going to die. So we can understand why the goal was to do something to stop the osteoclastic activity. What the bisphosphonates do is kill osteoclasts. I just won't go into the mechanism, but they are osteoclast killers. That's what they do. Well, I would submit that under this circumstance, what else can I do? Except control how many I kill. Try to guesstimate. I don't want to kill them all, because then I'll get excess bone growth. The blasts are going to continue. So the ideal dose would be to try to down-regulate clastic activity by killing some. The problem is, in the clinical trials, they couldn't do the work with the drug on osteoclasts. It's hard to get them to work on. So they used osteoclast surrogates. They, too, do surrogate testing. And what they did use were mast cells. So what we do know is that Fosamax destroys the reticuloendothelial system, at least, because that's what they demonstrated. And by extension, it's thought that the it probably does the same thing for osteoclasts. At least we hope we're crossing our fingers. And so the side effects come from the fact that we don't really know what the drug does. It is sucked up into the osteoclast and destroys it. Mechanism unknown. All right? So it's not known that it specifically kills just the osteoclasts. The mechanism by which it does it is not clearly delineated. But you chiropractors, you guys are dangerous. Why, you can't even tell me for sure what a subluxation is. You can't even prove that that exists. You don't do real science like this. God, you want quackery? It's all over. Again, read the book, The Truth About the Drug Companies. Make you crazy. All righty. Macrophages, I'm sorry, not mast cells. They use the macrophages, again, interfering with the reticuloendothelial system. And so the side effects come from the fact that it's destroying cells that we really don't want to destroy. Some of those side effects, most notably, headache, 2.6%. Pain, 4.1%. Flatulence, my favorite party activity, 2.6%. GERD, 2%. Esophageal ulcer, 1.5%. Abdominal distension, 1%. Now, here's where we get in trouble, okay? I've presented this many times, and someone in the audience will say, well, that's not true. It's nearly 100%. Everybody I see, I said, whoa, 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 stop. Say again what you just said. Well, it's 100% of who? Everybody I see. Who are you seeing? You're seeing the 2%, the 2%, the 1%. That's who comes to us because they don't want to do the drugs. And so it is true that we see a disproportionate number of people taking Fosamax who have adverse reactions. That's why they're there. They don't want to do it anymore. So we have to go to the literature and find out these are actually pretty good numbers. What's the problem? There are tens of millions of people taking this, and so that's a lot of people who are having headache and other pain, and that's who migrates to us. So we tend to get this distorted view. Everybody has problems with this. I began to question some of my elderly patients, found out many were taking Fosamax, and they never told me. It wasn't what they came in for. It was never part of the discussion, and they're doing just fine. Doesn't bother them at all. All right? So we have to, here's a case where we should go to the PDR, get the real numbers, and recognize we get a very jaded view. A 15-year, I don't know if it has a 15-year half-life, does it? Well, I'm not sure. Hell, they don't even know how it's working. How could they figure out a half-life of what they don't even know? Half-life of what? Well, it's a potential half-life of the theoretical particle of the framus of the Rizrat. But we're not really sure, but we want you to take 10 milligrams a day, and if your guts fall out, let me know. We'll try something different. What's the worst thing in general we can, what's the worst thing that we can do for a patient? That's not the right question. What's the worst thing that can happen with us, with the patient, in reality? If we're doing good work, what's the worst thing that can happen? Nothing. The worst thing that can happen is nothing. We fail to help them. Are we going to hurt them? Nope, not doing good work. I'm never going to hurt them. And I tell the patient, this is a win-win for you. Working with me is a no-lose proposition. You'll lose a few bucks. You're blowing more than that on crap that couldn't possibly help you anyway. And I need it worse than you. So you're going to take care of my needs, so at least one of us is going to be happy. It's a win-win situation. Even if I don't help you, you help me. Now that's a good thing. It's almost spiritual. All right, so what will we do? If you're not having fun in practice, please do something else. Healers have fun. Could I have an amen? Amen. Yeah, preach it. Catalan, Simplex F4M. Simplex F4M, I need to do global balancing of that endocrine system. Remember, Simplex F4M gives me pituitrophin, thiotrophin, adrenotrophin, and the appropriate gonad. All right, now if they're way beyond menopause or andropause, then I may not do that. But in general, this is when we see it. They're right around menopausal age. And then calcium lactate, which means, again, examine their calcium intake. I actually would make that, prefer to make that calcifood, like we had just talked. You might write that in. Better to make that calcifood powder. They just get a lot more for their money with calcifood powder. organically bound minerals as we teach them to eat the green vegetables. You could as well make that trace minerals B12. The idea is the same. Cataplex D tablets, 3, that gives me 1,200. Again, at our discussion yesterday, what should they eat to get the D? The best way is to eat the fish naked at high noon in the sun. Which raises all kinds of interesting images in my mind. I'm not sure about yours. Is that an eel? No. This is dangerous. Biost or what? Ostrophin. Biost or ostrophin. Now here's how I make the distinction. If this is calcium lactate, if I think that's best for them, then I would want to make this ostrophin because I'm getting the bone meal there. If this is calcifood powder, then it's fine to just make this biost because they don't need the extra bone meal. That's a minor picky point, but that's how I do it in office. So biost with calcifood, ostrophin with calcium lactate. Minor point, but that's how I determine it in my office. And then chlorophyll. What do I want from chlorophyll in particular? Vitamin K. All right, or cruciferous complete. What is that? Kale and Brussels sprouts, which is a mutant cabbage. How many of you like Brussels sprouts? Love them. Oh, love them. My wife knows the answer is always yes. She doesn't even have to ask me the question. How many have foods like that? Where, honey, don't even have to ask me. If it's Brussels, yes. Breakfast, yes. No, it's true. Brussels sprout omelet, let's do it. Brussels sprout and cheddar cheese. That can work. The whole front row. I got 3 sales right up here. All right. Well, that sounds yummy to you and I, but we're perverted, weird. And healthy. We're not Americans. And cataplex F pearls. F to move the calcium to the bone. Or eat what? Butter. Okay. Cataplex F pearls for the ladies, tabs for the guys. Minor distinction. The tabs were originally for what? Cataplex F tabs were for what? First, prostate. Benign prostatic hyperplasia. That's what they were for. And Lee's idea was help use that to move calcium into the prostate. As the thyroid expands in order to get more blood, to get more iodine when deficient, when we are calcium deficient, the prostate will enlarge, so he theorized, in order to get more calcium. And your body just doesn't seem to care if you ever pee again or not. We're just going to get some calcium into the prostate. So calcium lactate, cataplex F, you may find the osteoporotic guy helped with the prostate, even though that's not what you were doing. Wild yam complex, menopausal woman. To help balance estrogen, we use a lot of that wild yam complex, okay? So that's a lot of stuff, but how long are you going to do this, by the way? Whatever that you end up doing, how long? Yeah, forever. Forever, and they'll ask me, and I'll say, well, until we absolutely perfect your diet, which will not happen, most likely, so you're going to be doing some of this forever. And then I tell them, hey, I take lots of stuff that I don't need. I take it because I don't want to need it. I take it preventatively. Now, is it better to chew the supplements or swallow them whole? Chew. What do they taste like? Yeah, Joy's right. Joy's face answers the question. And with a sick, very sick patient, I'll tell them it'd be best if you chew these, and what do they always ask? What do they taste like? Read the label. Tastes like that. And then they'll ask the next question. What's that? Do you chew them? No way. No way. But I take lots of stuff so that I don't end up like you, being told you need to chew them. I tell them it would be better if you chew them. If not, trust me, I understand, and I will not insist, and we'll just have to do a little bit more. But if you chew them, we can probably do less.
There's something else out now besides the positive action, the nasal spray, the myocalcin. Have you had any experience
with that? I have no experience with myocalcin, and I'm not sure what the purported mechanism is. Do you have more on that?
I do not know specifically, but I've had patients who are doing better with that than taking the positive action, the side effects they had.
Okay, so myocalcin, is there a brand name? Okay, myocalcin, they're doing a spray. And so we have to be current with that because we could steer the patient, the one with the least side effects, maybe that's more effective. The end result has to still be suppressing osteoclastic activity.
Turns the mucus into a
calcium pot. Solidifies your boogers. So I'm not sure. I'll have to check on that myocalcin. They know that this is nasty, the Fosamax, so they're looking for a better alternative. And we probably need to stay current with what they've got. Okay, come. I am not initially because if... There is evidence that it reduces fracture rate, although controversial, other studies say it doesn't. But we need to do something. Now, if there's been no fracture, I'm less congruent with that. If there's been a fracture, they're at risk. And so, all right, keep doing that, and let's work on feeding the bones so that you don't need it and see if we can improve bone density. But that's at least 6 months out. At least 6 months to see cortical bone density improve or stop the loss. So it depends on that history. And again, I can't really say anything anyway, but I can either be supportive or not supportive. That's how I do it. So if she's had a fracture and is having no subjectives, I will probably enforce the need to stay on that for now. As we see bone density improving, if we do, then you can request that the physician stop that. Now, they won't do it, right? But I can tell her, well, then you may have to make a change of physician. Because if you simply go to another physician fresh with this increased bone density, you will not be told to take Fosamax. So you can make a transition and stop it that way. Yes? Yeah. I tell patients to take most of this with food. They're foods. They're concentrated foods. And I take them all this morning. I took 50, almost 60 things this morning on an empty stomach. That is the least efficient way to do this, is it not? But I don't have a need. It's all just bonus stuff. And I get it wholesale, so who cares? It's just that works for me. So I tell them that's what I do. And I tell them that would be the least efficient way. Most efficient would be divided evenly with meals. Take it with meals. And they're not used to doing this. So I tell them, look, take the pile and set it beside your plate. Make it part of your meal. Think of it that way. So eat a little bit of food. Take one of the supplements or two. Don't chew them. Don't get confused as to what you're doing here now. Don't chew that one. So it's eat a little, take a little, eat a little, take a little, eat a little, eat a little, take, take a lot, take a little more. What musical? Music Man. All right. Robert Preston. So I tell them to do it as part of the meal, and they'll have less problem burping it up and so forth. But some of them are just really nasty. You chew a Cola Call and tell me how pleasant this is. Huh? Or Valerian or any of these. All right.